Try Therapy Notes, the number one rated electronic health record system available today. With live telephone support 7 days a week, it's clear why Therapy Notes is rated 4.9 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot and has a 5-star rating on Google. Therapy Notes makes billing, scheduling, note-taking, and telehealth incredibly easy. And now, for all you prescribers out there, Therapy Notes is proudly introducing ePrescribe. Try it today with no strings attached and see why everyone is switching to Therapy Notes, now featuring ePrescribe. You can get 2 months free by using promo code CHAT at therapynotes.com. Trauma Therapist Network is a website to learn about trauma and how it shows up in our lives and to find a trauma therapist. Go to traumatherapistnetwork.com to find a trauma therapist near you today.
Are you going through menopause or perimenopause? It can be a struggle to find comfort in your body with night sweats, hot flashes, and so many other uncomfortable symptoms. Hormone Harmony is a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause, created by Happy Mammoth. They are dedicated to making women's lives easier using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout women's lives. So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold. Hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code CHAT at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code CHAT for 15% off today.
Therapy Chat Podcast, episode 430.
This is the Therapy Chat Podcast with Laura Reagan, LCSWC. The information shared in this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health professional. And now, here's your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC.
Hi, and welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan, and today I am excited to have two returning guests, Kelly Higdon and Miranda Palmer, two licensed therapists who came together to create ZinniMe, which empowers private practice owners to serve at their highest and best, improve clinical outcomes through business planning, and break the statistic that mental health clinicians are the worst paid master's degree. Kelly and Miranda provide coaching and training through their business school for therapists and free educational trainings, helping thousands of clinicians from around the world. And they have been my guests on Therapy Chat a few times before. They are coaches who helped me when I started my private practice 11 years ago. And in this conversation, you're going to hear us talking about several recent developments that are causing therapists to reevaluate who they do business with. And I think what we're talking about is important for therapists to understand and important for people who are consuming therapy to understand too. What you're going to hear us talking about in this conversation is how venture capital-based mental health treatment providers limit competition and push local businesses out of the marketplace by spending millions on marketing. How tech companies that offer mental health, quote, treatment that is misaligned with therapist ethics and best practices can put therapists and clients at risk using unethical practices that could cause potential HIPAA violations and other liabilities that may be passed on to the therapist. How misclassification of therapists as 1099 workers when they're treated like W-2 employees can cause consequences for therapists, especially when dealing with these tech companies, and how our field conditions us into learned helplessness in these types of situations. We talked about things therapists need to consider to protect our clients and ourselves, and what we can do to challenge the ways that the tech industry is disrupting the mental health treatment field. So We talked about a lot of different things, but these are important things for therapists to know about. And I know most of us are so busy just trying to do our jobs and take care of ourselves and scramble to get by because of all of the stress that's going on that affects us and all of the business challenges that so many of us are dealing with more recently. But this is actually a hopeful and positive and empowering conversation. I hope you will find that to be true. It's not shaming or discouraging, but we are just trying to make sure that people understand what is happening out there that's affecting so many therapists now and what we can all do to continue to practice within our ethical guidelines and in alignment with our own integrity and what we don't have to do in order to serve in the way that aligns with our personal and professional values and ethics. So let's dive right into my conversation with Kelly and Miranda. Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan, and today I'm so happy to be joined once again by two people who 10 years ago helped me grow, start, and build a thriving private practice and are still out there helping therapists day in and day out. My guests today are Kelly Higdon and Miranda Palmer from Business School for Therapists.
Hello.
Kelly, Miranda, welcome. Welcome back.
It's good to be
Thanks
back.
For having
it's good
us.
To see you.
Yeah, it's so fun to be with you always. And, you know, I was thinking about the other day, Therapy Chat. You know, I've always kind of struggled like how to explain what Therapy Chat is, but it's really a podcast that's for therapists. It's about therapy and trauma therapy and therapists. And that's like my commitment. That's what I'm always coming back to. And with both of you, you are always focused on helping therapists be great at what we do while thriving in our lives and providing, you know, really high quality care to the people who come to us for services. So to that end, you've recently been talking about something that's really affecting so many of us. I think all of us in the therapy world and everyone who's out there going to therapy, which is the sort of tech revolution in the therapy field, you could say. So I really want to talk about that today and how what is going on impacts therapists and clients and what therapists really need to understand about the decisions we make and how we operate our practices and who we align with in offering those services. So before we do, though, let's just start off with you, either of you or both of you, telling us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Well, we're two coaches who were therapists who really feel that you cannot have a great business that's profitable and sustainable without also having great clinical outcomes. We're always looking at that intersection of you and your personal life, having a good life and doing this work in a way that's sustainable without the burnout, while also serving those people who you love working with to get great clinical outcomes. And everyone is unique in how they do that. And discovering what is uniquely your path for that is so important.
Yeah, I think this Miranda here, I know people always struggle with our different voices. That was Kelly. This is Miranda. You know, I think it's really hard for clients who are out there in the world trying to navigate finding a therapist who can really like deeply help them. And it can be really hard to know beyond just, okay, I think I need therapy. And then to go out into the world, and we're now at a place, which is a good place, where it's not just that there's only one therapist in the small town that you live in, right? People have choice, and that's really beautiful. But within that choice, the kind of the differences in what you're going to receive is astronomical. And I think until that changes, until we can really, as a profession, start to shore that up and make sure that everybody who goes to therapy really should have a great experience. Even if you go to a therapist and it's maybe it's not the vibe, it's not the right fit, that you and that therapist should be able to identify that and have that conversation pretty quickly and get you referred to somebody who is the right fit. Like, it should be really obvious to both people. And I think, unfortunately, and I know we're going to dive into some of this today, there's a lot of normalization of bad therapy and people not knowing what good therapy looks like. And one of the things that good therapy should always look like is that you feel significantly different and your life has changed, right? Like, it should be transformational for you. And I think beyond just the space of like, oh, I have more insight into my problems, it should be, oh, the way I'm interacting with the world has changed. Not just that I have more insight into my quirks and foibles or my eccentricities. I should have more than just language to describe what I'm struggling with. I should have skills that allow me to navigate the world in a more connected way.
Yeah, it's moving from that intellectualization into an embodiment of transformation that's lived through the person.
That is what we should expect from therapy. But I don't think people know that. I was even talking with someone. I was at a networking event a few months ago, and I was talking with someone. And, you know, I always approach everything as being related to trauma and attachment. And so I kind of, while most people that I talk to think that people who have trauma are like those people over there, not everybody in this room at all times, which is how I usually see it. And not everybody agrees with me, but that's the way I look at things. So when I'm talking with someone and talking about therapy, and I'm always thinking it should be at minimum trauma sensitive, trauma informed. And they say like, oh, I went through a hard time and this one person told me they found this app. I can't remember what the name of the app was. And they said, I was helped so much by this app. And I thought, oh, this must be one of those tech-based therapy apps. And it was actually not even, there wasn't a live human in any way involved with the app. It was just AI. And they said that it was so helpful to them to have, you know, I reframed my thoughts and it's basically doing like basic CBT without a human there. And they found it really helpful. And I thought, wow, this person really doesn't know what therapy can be. I'm glad it was helpful, but like they think that, you know, that's the expected outcome, that the machine kind of just tells me back, have you tried going for a walk or things like that? And it's like, that's nice, but you know, almost couldn't your friend tell you that? Like, is that even worth paying for? But yeah, things have really changed. And I think people are having a lot of different experiences interacting with what is called therapy and what they understand to be therapy, and yet are not having the transformational embodied experience that you're talking about.
The data shows that what affects change in the relationship is attunement, not certification, not approach or intervention. It's the ability to attune. And AI doesn't attune. Humans attune. There's energy in the room. There's a vibration there. There's a lot going on. And it's that ability to attune and have a corrective experience with the therapist of what healing can feel like, right? And yeah, the whole AI thing is so interesting with ethics and stuff that's coming up around that.
I think also like the ability to have a transformational relationship with another human so that you can pattern in what a healthy relationship could be with another human. It's not that we need to learn how to work with computers or artificial intelligence more, unless that's how we want to live. Ultimately, you know, we want to be able to be connected in, whether we're at the grocery store or we're out for a walk or we're talking with a neighbor or we're with our partner or our dear friends. Like, we have an epidemic of loneliness happening right now, of people really struggling with how to be connected. And I don't mean from a, like, whether you're introverted or extroverted, a number of friends, but like people not having just one or two like deeply trusting relationships. For some people, they will describe that the best thing about therapy is that it's the one person in their life they can trust. That's not okay. I mean, that's beautiful, but ultimately the goal of therapy then should be that we can get them to two, like another person they're not paying, a third person, a fourth, you know, like, can we expand this out so that this person has a network, a community of people that they can trust with at least different areas of their life, if not the whole thing?
Yes, exactly. It's not just about having the experience of someone listening, holding space, attuning to you, developing deeper insight into who you are, but it's also how you take that out into the world and do your relationships differently. That's where the transformation is. It's only, you know, how transformative is it if it's only between you and the therapist, but you still do your regular life exactly the same?
I think the other thing that comes up for me, because I know this is, you know, part of our conversation today, is, you know, you talk about the issue of trauma, right? And how trauma shows up in the room. And I think when we look at our profession and we look at the way that we train therapists in a traumatic environment. We train them in such a way that they go to graduate school. And in graduate school, they say things like, hey, you need to be tracking the progress. If someone isn't making progress, you should refer them out. If you don't have the skills available to help this person, you should find someone who's an expert. You should be connecting in with their primary care physician. You should have a treatment team. There should be continuity of care across all of their providers. Like, these are all the things that we learn in graduate school. And then you go out to your first practicum placement or your first field experience placement, and you have a clinical supervisor, and you go, oh, I don't have any experience with OCD. And they say, read a book. And you say, no, I mean, I really, like, this person has, like, really significant. I'm able to see that. Where do I refer them? They said, there's nowhere else. Listen, this is just how life is. And suddenly you're in this place of you're getting trained in such a way where everything that you've been told are best practices and that are outcome-based, they say, well, we're just going to have to let good enough be good enough. People get in trouble for advocating for their clients, from their clinical supervisors, from the agency supervisors, paperwork over people, right? Profits over people, even in nonprofit environments. I think we often think about, you know, profits over people being something that's specific to a private pay practice. And in fact, it actually starts, like, I see it more in nonprofit practices, where it's something where, well, we have to get these numbers, we have to show these things to our grantors so that they will continue to give us these grants so that we can continue to get this money, whether that is actually in the best service of the client. So you have all of these therapists that come out and that go through this process of working in environments that are exact opposite of what our training is. So we're already in this like ethical bind from the beginning. We are unpaid, often underpaid at least. We are the top worst paid master's degrees. If you go and look at the top 10 worst paid master's degrees, 5 of them are all focused on leading to different mental health licensures, art therapy, professional counseling, LMFT, LCSW, all of those things. So we're underpaid, we're unpaid, and we're often like really attacked when people do stand up and say, hey, this is illegal, this is unethical, here's what's going on. They just find that they actually get, you know, in their employment, they're having an issue. So we have this incredible amount of trauma that we come from in a profession. And then we see, I think we're seeing right now how that trauma, the long-term effects of that, how now we have venture capitalists and other capitalistic businesses that are coming over, and they're capitalizing on this traumatized profession. They're capitalizing on people that have not been well trained in how to enact their boundaries and to understand what their role is ethically, what their role is legally, how to understand the difference between what it means to be an employee versus what it means to be a business owner, or, you know, which is AKA a contractor. A lot of people going to work for people thinking that they are in an employment situation when they're actually not, and not getting the information, like not getting the learning that they need to understand there's a lot of responsibilities that you have as a business owner. And if you think it's not your responsibility, that it's your employer, but you don't actually have an employer, you are not just opening yourself up to harm, but you're also opening up your clients to harm as well.
That is so true. And so let's break that down a little bit, with starting with the venture capital stuff. I think so many therapists are just working nose to the grindstone, and they just don't even know sort of these trends that are happening. I think because I get exposure to a lot of therapists and I'm in a lot of therapist groups and stuff, I hear about these things, but I know so many therapists are just so busy trying to stay afloat that they don't really realize what's happening. So what are the venture capital based programs are doing?
Right. So if you look at what venture capitalists do, is they gather money to invest into a company, and the name of the game is to increase profit and sell. Eventually, they want to sell to like a larger established company. Like, we've seen this before, where some of these have been sold to medical apps and things that have already existed. So they go through different rounds of funding. And so you have seed money to get started. And then as they keep evaluating the projection of the business, the valuation goes up. And then they may do another round of funding until they're able to sell. Now, like some of these recently, there's one that has over $120 million in funding, and they're kind of newer. They're looking at, for example, another one of these gets 10 million views or visits to their site. So all these kind of data points of like membership, website traffic, they all influence the valuation of the company. Another one just recently raised $130 million at a $1 billion valuation. One thing to note about this is that if a company is valued $1 billion and all these therapists work for this company, what does that say about the value of your labor? Oftentimes we hear like, I can't go into private practice and charge, you know, because people won't pay that much or whatever. But our labor is very valuable. And if we didn't give it to these tech companies, they wouldn't exist. So some of these venture capitalist companies, there's different models that they do where they provide a service to the clients, to the therapist business. Like maybe they do the billing, the contract set up with the insurance companies, all of that. Others of them have you provide direct services for clients that they are marketing to. Some of them are coming in and buying up practices to eliminate competition. So there's a few different models of how they're doing it, but basically it's wealthy people investing, hoping to, it's like a gamble. I'm hoping that this company makes money and I'm going to get money back when it sells. It's the name of the game.
And to think about it like in this other way is they're targeting something where they say, you know what? This is an undervalued space.
Mm-hmm.
We see a place where we can make money because these things are undervalued, right? Why is mental health as a business undervalued? Why are we undervalued? Why are we the worst paid master's degree? Why is someone coming in and paying therapists directly, underpaying them, paying them a small amount, and based on that labor, getting multiple mental health tech companies getting valued at $1 billion? Why are there multiple companies coming in, utilizing underpaid therapists, and being able to get $1 billion, right? Can you think about that? $1,000 million. Right? Or what is that, right? Where you think, well, like, yeah. like $999 million. No, $1,000 million. $1,000 million. That's like, and that's happening multiple times. So this space, right, that we're in, where you say, why do they target mental health? Is it because they're like, oh my gosh, mental health is so needed. It's so important. maybe that makes them feel good in their heart. Like, oh, and I love that this is about doing good for people. But ultimately, if it was doing good for people, but it wasn't going to get them a significant investment or a significant return on their investment, venture capitalists want a big return in a small period of time. A big return in a small period of time. These are not people who go in and say, we're going to look at this for the next 10 to 20 years. We're not in it for the long haul, right? So they can make decisions that are good for the short term, then sell it off things that don't make sense long term.
The Institute for Creative Mindfulness is the EMDR therapy training brainchild of Dr. Jamie Marich, a clinician and author who's on a mission to confront stigma around mental health, trauma, and dissociation. The Institute, informed by Jamie's work, teaches a somatic, expressive, bottom-up approach to EMDR therapy that does not treat dissociation like a dirty word. ICM empowers their students to navigate dissociation as a normal response to trauma and stress when it shows up. Dr. Jamie Marich is out and proud on various levels about her own recovery and is a strong believer in the healing capacities of EMDR therapy and helping our clients to heal from the impact of trauma. I and two of my team members have been trained by the Institute for Creative Mindfulness directly with Jamie, and I was impressed with how dissociation really was treated as just a normal aspect of trauma therapy work, which it is. Both Jamie and the consultants were matter of fact about if and when dissociation arises, it's okay, it's normal, and here's how you can help the client in that situation. The Institute for Creative Mindfulness is offering a coupon code to save 15% off any program offered by ICM. This includes their EMDR therapy basic training programs and a wide variety of their home study, advanced topics, and other CE offerings. Go to instituteforcreativemindfulness.com and use promo code 15OFF for listeners. There's a link in the show notes. You can copy the promo code and use the link right there in the show notes to make it easy.
We all know that small actions can make a big difference in our lives. I know for me, I can be in a terrible mood, go out somewhere and see a stranger, make eye contact and just smile at them and find suddenly I feel good. Whether it's practicing mindfulness a few minutes each day, movement practices, small actions can have big benefits, like how taking care of your gut can support whole body health. Seeds DSO1 Daily Symbiotic benefits your gut, skin, and heart health in just 2 little capsules a day. Your body is an ecosystem, and great health starts in the gut. Your gut is a central hub for various pathways through the body, and a healthy gut microbiome means benefits for digestion, skin health, heart health, our immune systems, and more. Trust your gut with Seeds DSO1 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/living and use code 25LIVING to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seeds DSO1 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/living, code 25LIVING.
I'm sorry, I just gotta shout this. I own a private pay group practice. It's small. I think 5-6 people are my associates. How do they look at a business with a profit margin as slim as even a private pay practice has and say, oh, there's billions in this? How? I know they wouldn't buy a 5 yeah. employee or 6 employee practice,
Doo-doo.
But
for example, I know someone personally who bought a therapist directory. They just made a few changes, up the price that the owner previously wasn't willing to do, and then sold it very quickly. It was a 4-month turnaround. They are not interested in mental health. They do not care about the base of that directory. It's like a flip, like you're flipping houses. So they see these opportunities and these micro changes that they can make, and then it adds up over time. For example, if a venture capitalist can come in and said, hey, I have 2,000 therapists that will do the work for this insurance company, then the insurance says, great, I'll give you a little bit better rate because then I don't have to find these therapists on our own and I don't have to do all these individual contracts and you're going to save me a lot of money, and they give them a little bit of cut. Over time, that compounds. But if you look at it globally, there is concern from us in terms of how long is this going to last? Because
the valuations get overinflated. One of the first people that started one of these companies is already facing 20 years in prison for fraud in the state of California. Like, there are some shady things happening as well. And the money will dry up. If the profitability doesn't get to really where it needs to be. So you see, like, some of these companies offer a great deal. And then once they have the therapist hooked in, oh, we're going to pay differently. Oh, we're going to charge you
all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's even when you look at what they did, you know, some of these places have calculators. Here's how much money you can make with us providing online therapy. You don't have to go into work. We're going to help you because you've been with this exploitive nonprofit or you've been with this exploitive agency, and therapists are like, oh, someone please save me. They do this calculator and it says, hey, you can make $100,000 a year. And you go, oh my gosh, I could make $100,000 a year working in my, with my pajamas on the bottoms and sitting on a Zoom. Like, that sounds lovely. But they leave out 1,000 things. They overinflate how much time it actually takes to do the sessions. They don't tell you that you're working as a contractor instead of an employee. So that means that $100,000 needs to pay for all of your health insurance, all of your vacation, all of your time off, all of your self-employment taxes. So every bit of tax that you are normally like used to paying, right, which depending on what state you're in could be really significant. But on top of that, 15.3% taxes is going to be laid over the top of it. You need to take care of all of your own retirement, every single expense, and you're taking on the liability of everything regarding that client, including the HIPAA compliance and a lot of other things that we don't like to think about as therapists, as business owners, right? So suddenly you go in and you go, okay, well, you maybe you're listening to this, you're like, put $100,000, Miranda, like there's a lot of room, right? Like even if I take all these things off. And then suddenly you get in and you realize, oh, actually, to make that number, what I need to work is about 75 hours a week. And because I'm a contractor, there's no, oh, if after this amount of hours, there's no overtime. There's no oversight. There's nobody saying, hey, here's the scenario of we gave you too many clients. In fact, we sent out a thing this week, a message talking about like side hustle or toxic relationship. This idea that like a lot of us think, oh, well, I'm going to be with this online tech employer for a little bit while I launch my own private practice.
Somebody, I hear people respond, say that all the time. I'll just have a few clients.
I'll just have a little bit. So somebody responded and they said, hey, they signed up for one of these online tech companies because I didn't know the transition to full-time telehealth, if it was going to work out. I was given roughly 50 clients the first weekend that I was onboarded. Their response, were inundated. In addition, I was not given the option I was promised of accepting or denying clients ahead of time. And I was given clients that clinically I had no business working with based on my training and experience, right? So right out of the gate, most of these places are basically being a marketing arm or a directory listing where they're setting you up with clients, but suddenly we're not connecting this at all to outcomes, to is this actually going to help your client? Well, what does that do? We shared some numbers about like how much money got returned from one of these places. I don't want to name any names today, but like there's a lot that's in here about how much money is being given back to clients because they're having bad experiences. That's just a little bit of a number, but how many clients go to therapy, have a not great experience, and then suddenly are like, you know what? Therapy's not for me. I'd be better off with a life coach down the street. I thought this was regulated. I thought this was a great scenario. Now, because of the trauma of our profession, instead of this therapist or, you know, these therapists coming in and going, this is absolutely not right. I'm saying no, especially if they have the privilege to do that. Like this is not okay. I will go get a job elsewhere. Therapists go, well, these are people that have millions of dollars and, you know, like these are business people. I guess this is just how it is. And it's not. We are consistently giving these people who sometimes have no business being in the mental health field. They have no business being in the mental health field. And the only reason they can be in this health field is because of our license and our experience. And they are exploiting clients, right? We have a particular one, which this one I don't mind naming. They got fined $7.9 million because of what they did with client data. The FTC was like, absolutely not. This is not okay. Now, that same one spent more than $20 million just on podcast advertising in one quarter. Do you think that $7 million made a drop in the bucket? That's just advertising for them. And yet, right, there are still thousands, tens of thousands of therapists who are giving this place viability. Like, do it's you true. Really know and who you're working with?
When you talk about the trauma in our field, last year when that happened, and that was the Federal Trade Commission's sanction of BetterHelp for allegedly pushing people to disclose private information while telling them that it would be kept private, and then selling the data. And I mean, that's what the Federal Trade Commission said happened. And I know BetterHelp denied that, but they paid the settlement. So they have the money to take it to court if they really wanted to. But the problem that I see there is that therapists who heard about that and they were working with companies like that said to me, I was told by people, so this is me speaking, I'm afraid to do anything. I don't want to abandon my clients. I can only see them through this system. And I'm also afraid of, you know, speaking up or speaking out against this because I may get in trouble. So it's just like, it's a very much of a trauma response that you see.
It's an abusive relationship.
Yeah.
You are like, when we talk in business school for therapists about outcomes, it comes from business decisions too. It's not just your intervention that improves clinical outcomes. But what we do is we outsource all that decision-making to a bunch of investors, right? From like, how you accept a client, how you onboard a client, how you do outcomes tracking, all of that. We just tell this board, you tell me what to do. And they have no interest truly in understanding how they can make changes to improve the outcomes clinically. What they care about is getting, it's like a churn and burn, or like getting, it's about quantity really over quality. Now they'll say that they care about that, but I don't know how a group of investors, a board with maybe a therapist on it, really can help determine that at scale, because it's so individualized to how I am going to do an intake as to how you're going to do it and how it's going to influence the outcomes. So we're basically outsourcing our power and decision making to investors. And then we get stuck in this relationship that is very abusive. You know, we have clients who have gone through these companies and felt traumatized because they couldn't pick the clients. They ended up with clients that were stalking them, being inappropriate in sessions, and like all sorts of things. It was really, really challenging.
And clients too are having negative experiences with therapy. You know, they see this ad on the Super Bowl that shows someone that looks like them and the therapist that seems gentle and sensitive and exactly what they were hoping for. And it's like, oh, this is finally making therapy accessible to people like me who traditionally have not trusted it, have not been able to afford it, have been, you know, kept out of it. And, oh, this is a way that I can get help now. And it's
you see that with such hope for how positive it can be for people. You see that. And then you, even when you're Googling, maybe you're looking for a Black therapist in Atlanta and then somebody's paying for that and you go through the process and then literally it shows you a bunch of white therapists. They are paying to make it harder for people to find Black therapists and showing people that are not there or not giving them the option to say, I really want a Black therapist. That's what I'm looking for. They're not doing that. Now, why does a therapist, again, this toxic relationship, and I know we're almost out, I'm like so aware of that part, but it's what we do in everything, right? It's what we learned with insurance as well. Most of us were taught this idea that we need to take health insurance to provide accessibility and equity of care. And we think of insurance companies as nonprofits. And in fact, right, the United Health Group alone, $22.4 million in profit. CVS Health, $8.3 billion in profit. Elevance Health, $6 billion of profit in 2023. The top five insurance companies making over $43 million in profit in 1 year, all while therapists are struggling to pay back their student loans, while they're struggling to, and these are business owners. If you are taking insurance, you are a business owner in most cases, or you're an employee of a business owner. So what is happening in our whole broad system, right? That therapists are the ones who are saying, hey, I need to create accessibility while I get profit for other people who clearly don't care about accessibility, right? Because they're still saying no to people getting on the plans. They're still not paying a sustainable wage for people to be able to provide the level of care that's needed to get great clinical outcomes. It's not okay, right? It's not okay that there are people in LA, in Los Angeles, California, one of the top most expensive cities to live, that are getting reimbursed less than $50 for a 47 or a 52 minute CPT code. That is wild. It doesn't make any sense. While the same, I say the same insurance company, but the thing with the same name in Ohio could be making $130. It doesn't make any sense. It's all about business decisions. And then we shame therapists when they say, you know what, I can't do this anymore. It doesn't work for me. And like, no, there's no shame in saying this doesn't work. The only thing that's going to change these broken systems is if we, as the product, I don't want to think of any of us as products, but we as the product say, you know what? That just doesn't work for me. If you are going to go and give your work and labor for free, give it directly to people. Give it directly to people. Give it directly to people. Stop giving it to these corporations. There are better ways to give back to your communities than taking health insurance contracts that are inappropriate. And I'm not saying you shouldn't take health insurance, but I'm saying if the health insurance contract that you're living off of is unsustainable and you're having to get a second or a third job, or you're having to charge twice as much to your private pay people to subsidize $1 billion business, a multi-billion dollar business, something's broken. It's not okay.
I just have to say too, CVS Health owns Aetna, right?
I think they're connected.
I believe
Aetna
that's
owns,
the case.
Owns CVS Health.
Yeah, one or the other somehow.
Yeah.
And Aetna and United, the other one you mentioned first, are the two worst paying insurances here where I live in the DC area. So nobody who has those can find therapists. So that's another problem. And it's not because they won't eat some, Aetna struggles to let people join their panels, even though they pay the worst, and people who have it can't find somebody that will serve them. So,
and let me just say this, if you have health insurance, and if you are struggling to find anybody, you call everybody that's on your list and they all say, I'm full, or I have a waiting list of 2 to 6 weeks, or, hey, you can't find anybody that has the specialty of trauma or fill in the blank, call your patient's rights advocate and say the words, it feels like I have phantom insurance. It feels like even though you tell me I have mental health care, I don't actually have it because there's no there. There's no actual way for me to access this care, and watch how quickly the patient's rights advocate will make sure that you get access to care. And often what happens actually is that they will then go and find you a private pay therapist and they will reimburse that person 100%. That's what happens if you actually go through. Now, should all of these clients who are already in a mental health crisis have to go through that? Absolutely not. It is not okay. It's not okay. But realistically, maybe even for us as I know this is an interesting, your listenership, right, has a lot of different people. But if you are someone who has the privilege and has the energy or has the personality to go after that, go after it. Know that you can ask for more.
I really wish we had like another hour, 2 hours all day to talk about this. I really do. But I know that what you've been putting out gives a lot more information that people can take after they listen to this and go learn more what we can do as therapists and what you just shared, like what clients can do, which, you know, all of us, we're all therapists and clients, right? We're not just, but this isn't a negative, hopeless message for anybody. This is a hopeful message, but I think it's important to understand what's really happening and not just think, you know, well, I guess I have to do this. You know, this is the only way it can be. It's like, no, there's something going on here in the big picture, and therapists and clients have rights here. If we hear where the unethical and problematic things are that are happening within these dynamics, we have power to take action. One just simple thing you said, if nobody was joining these tech-based companies, then they couldn't exist. I mean, when they talk about like narcissism, like we're the supply that feeds the the machine, right? Without yes. us doing that, then it won't exist. So vote with your feet. That's one thing we can do. But can we put some of the articles? Will you let me share yes. some of the articles yes. that you have written in the show notes? And I know that'll be really helpful.
Yeah. And we have specific things where, you know, here's an example of how to file an FTC. Here's how to file something with the Health and Human Services Board. What about the Labor Board? Like, what are these different places? There are people who are being treated as contractors who actually should be classified as employees. And if you're one of those individuals, going through your labor board and getting that change could end up with more money in your pocket, less tax basis. Some of you, maybe you just did your first year working as a 1099 contractor and you're paying your taxes. Today, we happen to be recording this on April 15th. You're paying your taxes and going, oh my gosh, I had no idea, right? I didn't know. Well, maybe you look at it and you find out a little bit more about what it means to be a contractor versus an employee. You might have actually been an employee, and talking with your labor board could make some big shifts, right? And again, can we make sure before we sign any contract, whether it's with an online tech company or whether it's with an insurance person, can we understand whether that works for us financially? Like on the homepage of our website, we have a training that takes you through like, what are the steps we need to take before you ever say yes to money? You should have already done your math as a business owner, right? It's sort of like even before you take an employment position, like how many of us, I know it's not our favorite thing, how many of us have budgeted and actually know how much income do we need to make to be able to be okay to not live paycheck to paycheck? Right. You might just think like, well, if I was making this amount of money, that would work for me. Maybe that did work for you 2 years ago, but with inflation, it may not work for you. Maybe the fee that seemed like a lot of money for you 5 years ago of $120 a session doesn't make any sense when a one bedroom apartment in your area is going for $1,800. Right. That $120 a session made sense when your rent was $500. For a one bedroom or a studio or whatever the dynamic is, right? Like we're not even talking about like, in many cases, like I remember like Casey Truffaut had to like be a wealthy therapist, right? We're not even talking about wealth right now. We're just talking right. about like people being able to not be indebted, not be in debt to their eyeballs and not be in a place where something shifts and changes. They are gone. We have more therapists leaving this profession than entering it. And yet this profession is freaking amazing.
What we I know. Do with
clients
it's
is so great. Like it's beautiful.
It's so wonderful.
But it's not beautiful when we're burnt out. It's not beautiful when we are
unable to survive.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love your passion. I'm so grateful. I'm so, so grateful. I like it when I'm not the only one saying the thing that other people don't like to hear.
Same.
So where can listeners who are therapists and want to be more empowered and embodied in making their decisions about their practices, go to find out like the things that you were just sharing about.
Yeah, we'll give a link to the article where we've written a lot about this with the resources, but we also have a lot of free trainings from like how to set your fees. Like, you need to know what you can accept from an insurance company and what kind of fee does really work for you. And you can find that at zinnyme.com/free.
I would honestly say just go to zinnyme.com. Right on the front page, we have one that walks you through all of this. It's like a 1, 2, 3. Just put your email address in and get it going. Because I do think there is something, I'm noticing this more and more, that even in our free trainings library, people get a little overwhelmed or they're like, well, should I start here or should I start there or whatever? Like, start with the video on our homepage, because it really kind of puts it all together in perspective and gives you like, here are the steps. And then that can often give you more clarity of like, okay, so this is a marketing issue for me, or this is a fee issue for me. We try to make it dead easy for people. Like, we are therapists, right? If that wasn't clear, we are therapists. We developed our step for therapists because we saw the issues happening. This was even 13 years ago, therapists struggling to step into their power as professionals and as business owners. And here we are. And now it's this divide, right? People like Laura who are like, wait, I've learned this and I understand my value and I understand that these things are not okay. And I've healed some of my trauma and maybe even healed some of my childhood trauma that is showing up in the way that I do my business and what have you. Like, here's all these pieces. And then the people that haven't done that work and that are just being just spit out whole, you know, just chewed up and spit
reenacting out. Mistreatment, exploitation, and disempowerment that is so right there because it's so familiar.
Yeah. It feels normal.
Yeah.
It feels normal.
Well, Kelly and Miranda, I am so grateful that you came back to Therapy Chat today to share about this. And I know that this is probably going to make people feel a little uncomfortable. And, you know, check out that cognitive dissonance and ask yourself, is there anything here that I could maybe consider whether I could do differently? Because there's so much that we can do. We are not trapped here, but we just have to, you know, believe that we have options and we have power collectively and individually. So I hope we can talk again soon. But for now, thank you again for being my guest again on Therapy Chat.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Try Therapy Notes, the #1 rated electronic health record system available today. With live telephone support 7 days a week, it's clear why Therapy Notes is rated 4.9 out of 5 stars on Trustpilot and has a 5-star rating on Google. Therapy Notes makes billing, scheduling, note-taking, and telehealth incredibly easy. And now for all you prescribers out there, Therapy Notes is proudly introducing ePrescribe. Try it today with no strings attached and see why everyone is switching to Therapy Notes, now featuring ePrescribe. You can get 2 months free by using promo code CHAT at therapynotes.com. Trauma Therapist Network is a website to learn about trauma and how it shows up in our lives and to find a trauma therapist. Go to traumatherapistnetwork.com to find a trauma therapist near you today.
Thank you for listening to Therapy Chat with your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC. For more information, please visit therapychatpodcast.com.